Today,
October 20th, 1991. We are here in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I am with the distinguished Puerto Rican ball player Victor Peyote Power. Victor, I would like to start by asking you where you were born, and as a youngster, how did you become interested in baseball? I was born in a small town in northern Puerto Rico called Arecibo, and there I began to play at the age of 13. And I say 13 because my father never wanted me to play, feeling that I would cut myself and ruin my clothes. Was there one person when you were 12 or 13 who saw in you the potential for becoming a good ball player? In my neighborhood, an amateur ball player who later played professional baseball by the name of Café Salaberrio. I followed him around. Also, Bobby Mendez, mayor of Arecibo, created an amateur AA team. He signed me, and that's how I got started. Aside from baseball, as a youngster, did you have any other interests? Arecibo is also well known here in Puerto Rico for basketball. I played a lot of basketball with a number of great players, such as Yigina. It had been talked about whether I wanted to break into the Puerto Rican Superior League. As a youngster, did you have baseball heroes? Well, for that time, no, even though I knew there was a legendary figure by the name of Baby Ruth. But in Arecibo, there was no professional baseball, and we did not have the means by which to get to San Juan, and as such, I did not have an idol. What about Puerto Rican idols, such as players from the 30s or that era? When did Hiram Bithorn play? I believe Bithorn played about in the 1940s. There was no television. One did not read newspapers. Not much was known of him. Bithorn is the first Puerto Rican to play baseball in the big leagues. Also in my town of Arecibo, a star develops who goes on to play with the Dodgers by the name of Luis Rodriguez Olmo. But we hardly ever saw him because he lived in a different part of Arecibo, and he was always traveling. Did you play amateur ball, or did it exist in your day? Yes, the Superior League existed. I played very briefly in Arecibo, perhaps 4 or 5 games, and from there they signed me professionally. What positions or position did you play at that time? During that time, they had a specific name that they called me in Arecibo. They called me Campanella. They called me Campanella because I was the one that caught. Besides catching, I got to pitch and play all the positions. How was the transition from playing amateur ball to playing in the Winter League, where the North Americans played? Was it difficult or easy? We could say it was difficult, but then I had an advantage. The majority of the professional ball players were over 30 years old, so being a youngster of between 17 and 18, I had youthful advantages. So I would grasp, observe, and check out those older players, and it became easy for me. Who do you remember of the North American players, and what did you learn from them? A series of very good players came, but almost all from the Negro League in the United States. I learned a lesson in probably my second game that resulted in an aggressivity in my play. It was an incident in Mayaguez against Mayaguez. There was a first baseman named Alonzo Perry. I get a hit and reach first base. "Excuse me," he says, "I want to clean off the bag." I stepped off the bag and he tags me out. It was a brutal experience, so that when I got to the dugout, my manager asked me why I stepped off. I said that the gentleman had said it with such courtesy. From that day on, I learned to be more aggressive. What do you think the American players learned about the Puerto Rican culture? As I said a moment ago, they were players of the Negro League, and upon arriving in Puerto Rico, they realized that the lifestyle was different. There was no racism. They could live with anyone, black or white. They adapted marvelously, so much so that they came back every year. Now let's talk about the transition from Puerto Rico to the United States. What do you remember when, for the first time, you're going to arrive in the United States? How did you find the conditions in the minor leagues? In my specific case, I arrive in the United States by way of Canada. What happens? I played for Drummondville in the Canadian Provincial League. The majority of those players were major leaguers who had gone to Mexico to play with the Pasquale brothers. When the Mexican League folded because of the high salaries, all of them came to Canada. I then played on a team with Mike Lanier, Sal Magley, Danny Gardella, Roy Zimmerman, all of whom had played in the major leagues. Even so, I adapted to the system to the extent that I finished second in the batting championship, hitting .339. I lose the championship to a black player named Dave Pope by 1 point. Upon arriving in Canada and the United States, What did you like the most? What pleased you the most? I saw the organization, the punctuality. I saw the total spectrum that ran through channels of organization. Those were the things that impressed me the most. Who were your friends during those minor league days? I can tell you that I really did not have friends because of the racism in the United States. I was the first black in the Yankee organization, and on the teams in their system, such as Syracuse and 2 years of AAA in Kansas City. The majority were 24 white players, with me being the only black player. My last year, they put me together with Elston Howard, a color player. Well, I did make a friendship with a player by the name of Cletus Boyer, a young boy that the Yankees signed. We were almost always together. He was white, but we planned things together. In 1954 and 55, it was reported that you would be the first black player brought up by the Yankees to the big leagues, but that didn't happen. Do you remember that time, and what were your feelings about the episode? I remember very well because I had now been with the Yankee organization 3 years. They didn't bring me up. There were problems at Yankee Stadium where black people from Harlem together with Puerto Ricans picketed the stadium. This bothered the Yankees. Frequently, the press would ask me why I thought that the Yankees didn't bring me up. I told them that the Yankees weren't ready for a colored ball player on their team. Who were the other Latin players who played with or against you? Clemente was one of them. What happens was that in 1954, I became the first Puerto Rican to play in the American League. Clemente does not arrive in the National League until 1955. It took a longer time for a Puerto Rican to make it in the American League. The other boys were in the National League. I saw and spent time with them at spring training during exhibition games. How did you feel when you first knew that you were going up to the major leagues? When did you get the call, and how did you feel about getting the opportunity you felt you deserved? In 1951, I batted .295 in Syracuse, and they didn't bring me up. The next year, I hit .336 in Kansas City, and still they did not bring me up. Now I hit .349, batting champion, and 19 home runs. Well, they have to bring me up according to the press and public opinion. At any moment, I expected them to bring me up. I was coming from the United States via Orleans, waiting at the airport, when I noticed an old newspaper on the floor with a picture of mine that said, "Yankees bring up Vic Power and Elston Howard." Well, I became happy. My opportunity had arrived. What happened? I get to Puerto Rico. A newspaper writer from New York interviews me at my house in San Juan. The trade had been for Preston Ward and Harry Bird. About a month later, during the winter, the Yankees trade me to Philadelphia, so I was never able to put on a Yankee uniform. In your major league statistics, I believe you were better known as an outstanding fielder. Tell me a little bit about your career as a fielder. That's interesting. In the All-Star game during my first year in Canada, when the Yankees had signed me upon recommendation of the scout Tom Greenway, who was the same scout who had signed Mickey Mantle, what happens? In his report of the game, he said I was a good batter, ran well, threw well, but couldn't field. In that game, I remember making an error with a ball that took a bad bounce. So what happens? I then get to the majors. I win 7 gold gloves in the 12 years that I'm there. The first 2 years that I played major league ball, they did not give the award. But in the other 10 years, I win it 7 times as the best fielder. It is still talked about that I continue to be the best first baseman that those folks up there have seen. I don't believe any other first baseman has won 7 Golden Gloves awards. Yes, Keith Hernandez already has 9, but it was different. In the same cases of Clemente, who won about 14, those individuals played much more time than I did. I only played 12 years. Did Cleveland win a World Series or an American League championship when you were with them? No, we lost a crucial game with Chicago that decided who went to the World Series. They went, and I never personally could go with Cleveland. On the Cleveland team, what do you remember about individuals such as Bobby Avila, Mickey Vernon, Rocky Colavito, and Larry Doby? They were great ball players. Bobby Avila became the first Latin, I believe, to win a batting championship in the big leagues. Cleveland had a long history of great players. When I arrive, I see these guys such as Colavito and Herb Score. I note that in 1958, they used you as a utility player. During that time, Mickey Vernon played first base. What positions did you play as utility? I played all the positions except pitcher and catcher in the majors. When there was someone at first, I would play third and second, and in Cleveland, I played shortstop in the outfield. What is the most outstanding event that you have ever had in your career, your Golden Gloves? Well, I won 7 Golden Gloves, but I think that it's very important, especially in the time that I played, that I was selected for 7 All-Star games. These selections were done among the managers, coaches, and players. I think it's a great tribute that those men who knew the game picked me for those 7 All-Star games. Victor, are you still involved in baseball today? Yes, currently I'm a scout with the California Angels in Puerto Rico. Besides that, since I retired from baseball, I have had a program of clinics for the youth in Puerto Rico for reasons beyond just creating big league players, keeping them busy in ballparks and away from the dangers that enclose the streets of our country. How do you compare the baseball of the 50s with the baseball of today here in Puerto Rico? Well, we could say that in general, the baseball we played was for personal pride and the dignity of sports. Nevertheless, the baseball of today, modern baseball, is of commercial and monetary nature. How much do I get paid and I'll play? That's the attitude. That's been the big difference. So that the highest salary I managed to earn when I was in baseball was $38,000. Now, the minimum for big league players is $100,000. As you know, there are a lot of those who are getting a million or two a season. What can the players of today learn from your experiences in the major league? Well, the game we played, and I have some vivid examples, such as Minnie Manoso, who was a truly dignified sports person. We went to the playing field to better ourselves every day, to do something new each day. Besides that, we were more complete because of a combination of fielding, running, and batting. If you notice, many of today's players are great home run hitters, but their fielding is a question mark. Many of them don't run or throw. How has baseball helped you in the ups and downs of your life? Well, not in the economic sense, but baseball in itself has provided me with a total organization of life, of discipline, of being on time, of adaptability to incredible systems. I think that is the most it has done. It's a discipline unlike any others. Has it helped you understand other people? Yes, I have seen a lot of people who cannot imagine losing, and it makes them feel bad when they do. It's a game where you lose today, but tomorrow you are going to win. There were times when I was with Kansas City when we couldn't beat the Yankees. We went 2 seasons without beating them. The advice I give to the youngsters is that the best thing is to adapt to the established system. You go and try the best you can, but if you don't win, well, you're not going to kill yourself or cry or fight. Has there been some part of your career that we have not talked about yet? No, we have almost covered everything. If I were to come back reincarnated, I would choose baseball as my main job. It's a great profession. Economically, these boys make more money than presidents, lawyers, engineers, and doctors. Within the program that we have in Puerto Rico, we have obtained some scholarships that have allowed many boys to go to the United States to try their luck. If they don't become ballplayers, they graduate and become men of means. I think that I would advise the youth not only in Puerto Rico but in the world to play baseball. It's not hard. If you work hard, you can get up there. I know that you gave the people of Puerto Rico much pride and the American fans' enjoyment during the years that you played. I want to thank you for these comments. Well, thank you very much.